Welcome to the New Marketing Show bonus edition, brought to you by Trinity Web Media, trinitywebmedia.com. So thanks for checking out another Throwback Thursday episode of the New Marketing Show. Here is a presentation that I gave at WordCamp Phoenix 2014. And again, all of these principles are just as relevant today as they were back then. The presentation is about what is your site without content and what to do about it. So I'm speaking to all the content creators, how to create good content, what content is good, and what is your site without content. So here it is.
Let me put this back here. Anybody here seen me speak before? And you came back? Oh my God. Oh, you're glutton for punishment. Awesome, okay. Cool. What's that?
Groupies.
Oh, please. Don't flatter me like that. So what is your site without content and what to do about it? I want to frame this conversation, and it is a conversation, so I want to frame it with this. I want you to think about, what is your site without content? So the whole time that I'm talking and I'm saying different things to you, think about it. What is your site without content? Anybody care to answer?
Frame
without a picture. Anyone else? Jeremy.
A waste of time.
I've asked this question maybe 15 times, and that's the best answer. So. Well, you know, it's exactly that, you know. It's a blank page. You know, it can be an awesome design for all, you know, all us designers out there and developers. It could be the most advanced, the best design, the best layout ever. But without content, your site is really nothing. It's blank. So let's get started here. So who is this guy talking to me? Like she said, my name's Greg Taylor. I founded Marketing Press. And I'm an anchor down at Gangplank. We also created a WordPress product called Bullhorn the WordPress. And I've been a content creator and user of WordPress for, I don't know, some time now. I fell into the development side of WordPress through creating content. So, you know, development and design is all there, but everything starts with content. What can I expect from this presentation? We're going to talk about different ways to create content. What is content? How to create content? What content works for you? When to create content? And most importantly, why? So raise your hands at any time while I'm up here talking if you have any questions. I'm a pretty informal person if you haven't gotten that already. And let's just talk about it. This is a discussion. This isn't me just spewing out, throwing up knowledge on you. This is us talking as a community here. So feel free to tweet out the truth bombs that I have in my presentation. My Twitter handle is grtaylor2, and the hashtag here is WCPHX. And thank you guys for being here. You know, you guys could be anywhere in the world today, but you're here in Chandler, Arizona, listening to some guy talk about creating content. So I appreciate that. So let's do this. So you want to be a better content creator. And I mentor a lot of Gangplank. And a lot of people, that's what they want to talk about. I want to create content. I want to publish a blog. I want to do this. I want to do that. But the biggest thing you have to know is you better check yourself before you come and you start thinking like that. Because no matter what, truth bomb number one, creating good content is not for the lazy. Right? Who creates content in this room? Everybody should be raising their hand. If you have a smartphone, you take photos, your hands should all be up. It's hard. It takes a lot of work. And it takes even more work to publish that content. So there are lots of different types of content for sites. So anybody want to start shouting them out?
Images,
photos,
video.
Statistics. Never heard that one, but absolutely. What's that?
Checklists.
Audio, blog posts, podcasts. You know, all of that stuff, it's hard work. And you guys sitting in this room can attest to that because you guys have all done it. And you guys do it on a continuous basis. I mean, being a WordPress user, I mean, content is the name of the game. That's what you guys are talking about. I mean, that's what your goal is. What you're doing is you're pushing content out into the world, hence CMS, content management. So who are the content creators in your world? Anybody want to Shot anything? Designers, yep.
I have not WordPress.org.
Absolutely. So anybody who creates something that can be published, manipulated, even if it's not published to the web. I mean, we're all content creators in one way or another. You know, if you look at the guys, and there's a whole handful of them around here wearing Google Glass, are those guys content creators? You bet your ass they are. They're creating content of every single thing that happens all day long, you know? Hey, get glass. Content creation. So the content creators in our world are our designers, the photographers, musicians, actors, any of that stuff. Just because it's not put out into the web and published and broadcasted doesn't mean that you're not a content creator, because they certainly are. So, check yourself again. There's no half-assing content. There's no way about it, you know? You can publish out something, but is it really worth your time if you're gonna half-ass it? I mean, it's just a waste of time if you're not gonna put everything into it. So here are some content guidelines that we're gonna talk about over and over. It's gonna be a reoccurring theme. So let's talk about the why, the what, the how, and the who, and the when. That seems like a riddle of some sort, but I'm not that smart, so no. So why are you spending time on content? Anybody have any ideas? SEO.
Tracking clients.
Expertise. What was that one?
Demonstrating your expertise.
Great one right there. Absolutely. So always know your why. Anytime you do something with, you know, especially when as it pertains with WordPress and as it pertains to, and you know what? I know this is WordCamp, and I'm assuming everybody here is a WordPress user. If you prefer to use something else, you know, medium.com, social media outlets, Twitters, even other blogging, CMS platforms. I mean, it's all entertaining. So know your why. Know why you're doing it before you do it. So typically the three content goals that are that we always talk to our clients about, and we don't talk to our clients about anything else. We won't build them a site. We won't engage with any client until they can tell us why do they want to do this. You know, we've already established it's hard work. We already established that it's not anything that you can really go about it and half-ass. So why are you doing it? And until they can tell us the why, we're going to kind of keep the what and the how to us. So it's important to know your why. So here are typical goals of content creation. Creating community for your product, service, and brand. And if you've heard me speak before, like a bunch of you guys said, you know that I always go over the whys, the three goals of creating content and broadcasting content. Creating content for your community. So what does that look like? It could be newsletters. You know, if you look like, if you look at like a lot of animal rescues, they do an amazing job of creating content for community, you know, rallying around their cause. You know, a lot of nonprofits, nonprofit marketing, you know, they're great at trying to rally around a community. Creating content for positioning, letting people know why you're a subject matter expert, what your subject matter expertise is. You know, putting your brand out there in front of everybody and demonstrating what you do best. You know, it's super, super important. And you know what? Once you get the hang of it, and once you're committed, it's really not that difficult. There's no magic here. It's just a lot of hard work. You know, I know I just said it's not difficult. I did say it's a lot of hard work. A little contradictory, but. Did I confuse you? You guys are smart. You're not getting confused. Creating content for conversion is the third one. And conversion or commerce can be swapped interchangeably. And the definition in this context that I use for conversion is having a site visitor or having somebody that consumes your content act in a manner that you want them to act. So, when I was a kid, my parents probably would have called that manipulation. It probably looks very, very similar. But it's the same thing as marketers and as content creators. We want people to do certain things. Now, what are some conversion points that you may want somebody to do? Buy something, fill out a form, sign up for an email, you know, anything like that. They're all conversion points. you know, click through to a white paper, follow you on social media, that could be one. It all depends about your why. Why are we doing it? Once we know why, we can establish what the goal is. Now, anybody see a goal that I left off of these three? Somebody has to know it. It's obvious.
SEO.
No, that's creating content. That's more of creating content for subject matter expertise and for indexing. So, making money. And I'm glad nobody said that should be a goal, because making money and monetizing your product, service, or brand is not a goal. It's a byproduct of meeting your goal. So that's one of the biggest things that I always try to tell clients, like, yes, we're going to get to a point where we're going to monetize this thing together. But we first have to have a goal. Why are we doing this? Why are we in this together? So now, you guys out there, are you clear about your why? Do you have anybody confused that we can talk it through? No? I'm cheaper than a shrink? No? So, what are you passionate about? You know, and that could be a lot of, you know, that's kind of a loaded question. What are you passionate about? What topics are you passionate about? Especially when you're, you know, trying to create a community around your product, service, or brand, there has to be passion there, or nobody's going to pay attention. You know, you have to have passion to get people to click, you know, to buy a product or to go to your store and follow you on social media. You know, there has to be some of that stuff there. So, and then the other thing is like, what different mediums are you passionate about? Are you passionate about blogging? If you can say yes to me, then blog. You know, if you're passionate about making videos and vlogging, do it. You know, if you're passionate about photography and you want that to be part of your marketing plan and part of your WordPress site, awesome. But just be passionate about whatever you do. Because again, going back to a slide a long time ago, you can't half-ass this thing. So know your audience. Another key point. Who are you speaking to? Who are you trying to reach? And you know, a lot goes into creating personas around your audience. A lot goes into reading your analytics to know their behaviors. You know, who is your ideal client? Who is your ideal reader? You know, those are the people that you are trying to speak out and to reach to. In the very beginning, when I would blog, you know who I was speaking to? I was trying to impress other bloggers. Anybody else fall into that? Okay, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that I'll admit it. But that's the truth. You know what I mean? It's just like, don't worry about that stuff. Worry about the people that you have in hand. And 15 people who come to your site continuously are better than 150 that may come from time to time. You know? Who are you trying to reach? What are you trying to say? You know, what message are you putting forth? So, truth bomb number two. If you DGAF, and everybody knows what DGAF means, right? Don't give a fuck. It'll show. And guess what? Your audience won't give a fuck. That's just the truth. Because they know, you know what? Marketers, and being one by degree in my profession, we're not that smart. We can't fool you. You can't fool somebody who has an authentic interest in going somewhere. So if you're half-assing it and you don't care about what you're putting forth, and you're just publishing to publish, and you're publishing in quantity, and you're just publishing to publish and publishing, it shows. You're not putting any time, any effort. You know, I would rather see somebody publish and blog once every 2 weeks with passion and with purpose than every day or every other day. You know, there's been a trend in the blogging community that people have been trying to blog every day. You know, and there's a number of them. And the guys like, you know, like a friend of mine, Chris Lemma, who is speaking next in the big auditorium over there, you know, he blogs every day. But and I don't know how he does it, and I hate him for being this good. His stuff is great every day. You know, that's tough to do. So if you want to ever see how hard that is, try doing it. So I would rather see somebody blog, you know, from time to time, every day, without it being good. So next point, stay in touch with your analytics. Know what's working for your site. Know what's working for your audience. Know what's working for your business. Know what's growing the traffic that you want. Know what's growing the conversions that you want. Set goals in analytics. And then do more of it. Now, it's common sense. You know, there is no magic here. It's common sense. If people are coming to see your GoPro instructional videos, make more of it. You know, you can, you know, start to cross over, you know, maybe from a GoPro to flying a quadcopter with a GoPro on it and do different things like that. But do more of what works for you, whatever that is. But you're never going to know what works for you if you're not in touch with your analytics. And analytics, you know, I swear by Google Webmaster Tools, Google Analytics. And everybody will say, why Google Analytics? Where are you trying to be found? Now you tell me why. Right? So, let's talk about some of the hacks. How to create content. Pick the media you're most comfortable with. Again, you know, if you're comfortable with the written word, right. If you're comfortable with making, you know, art or paintings or photography, if that reaches out and that really connects with your audience, do that. If you're comfortable with vlogging, you know, and vlogging's kind of a weird thing. I've been trying to, like, document my day. You might have seen me over here talking on my phone before. So I've been trying to document my whole day. It's really weird to do, like, a video diary for the day. But, like, there are guys out there, like, Clintus of Clintus TV. Man, that guy vlogs like every day. He has like, Chris, what's his streak at? Like over a year and a half, something like that? Like something that I would have given up on a long time. But he, you know, whatever you're passionate with, go ahead and go for it. If you want to be a good content creator, especially when it comes to the written word, read. Read, read, read. When I was a kid, there used to be these PSAs. Reading is fundamental. Anybody else remember that? Anybody else remember that? Riff, there you go. That was actually the name of a high school band I played in. But we got it for reading this one now. What's that? We had one because we were clever. But the more blogs you read, the more ideas you're going to get. The more ideas you're going to get, the more you're going to be inspired. You know, latch on to some people that you like, you know, different blogs to read. I like reading Jay Baer's blog. I like reading Matt's blog. You know, there are another couple of other blogs that, you know, I read all the time. You know, just latch on to what you like and just, it's going to stimulate ideas, especially stuff that's topical within your industry, within your business, anything that's going to, within your clients. You know, it's always awesome to have a great client and to read a blog and then to send them a link to it and say, hey, I find this interesting. Right? Someone shaking their head, right? Does that work or what?
It does, they love you for it.
They love you for it because you're taking interest in their business. Well, how does that, you know, as a professional, I'm asking you the questions now. As a professional, how does that make you look as a positioning wise?
It's a good positioning.
Absolutely. It looks like you care about their brand. You're learning the most that you can about their industry. And then, you know, you can leverage all of that experience into content for your own stuff. So reading is key, you know. The busier that I get, the less I read, and I hate myself for it, and it really sucks. But you have to make time for it. And that's one of the things that, you know, I guess since I said it out loud, I'll put that on a checklist and I'll work hard on that myself. So I'm always asked, what's the perfect length for your written content? That's like not a wrong question. And I love the question because there's a great answer. But that's one of those questions somebody asks me who's like, okay, I want to figure out the secret sauce. How many words do I need on my site to get an index to go to page one? And then how many more words should I add for it to be in position 1, 2, or 3? And that's really half-assed it. Because you know what the answer is? Besides, there is no words, but that's not clever enough. The perfect length of any written content on your site is use the number of words it takes to clearly and concisely convey your point. Not a word more, not a word less. I don't care if it takes you 150 words to clearly and concisely get your point across to your audience. I don't care if it takes you 1,500 words. Whenever you're done, I want you to go back and look at it and say, this is as brief as it can be, and they're going to understand what I'm saying. There used to be numbers out there and everything, but it never, ever worked. Get your point across. Be as quick about it. Get to the point and move on. So that's my answer to that one. So don't fall into the common traps or different content creators and bloggers fall into. So there's a lot of different traps that everybody falls into when they're getting ready and they're sitting at their keyboard. And I think that, I think I'll be the only one to admit that I do. So. Blogger chat number one, I'm not good enough. If any of you feel this way about your writing, or you don't have the same kind of subject matter expertise or this or that, I highly suggest that when I'm done talking, you go into the middle theater and you see Chris Lemon's talk on the imposter syndrome. I've seen it before, and you know what? We all go through that. We all go through the, I'm not good enough. I don't write well enough to have a blog. My grammar is messed up. I can't spell. There's tools to help you with that stuff. Get your point across. Don't let that stop you. Trap two. Well, who would want to read what my post is anyway? Who cares? There's an audience out there. If you have a blog and you take the time and the effort to publish content that matters, again, not half-assing it, people are going to find you and they're going to connect with you. They're going to connect with your style, your topic, your voice, the things that you're passionate about. So those are some important things. People will want to read it. So don't fall into this trap. I really hate this one. Trap three, I'm too busy. Everybody says, clients that I meet and clients that I mentor over at Gangplank, they say, well, I'd love the blog more. I'd love the blog as much as you do, but I'm just too busy. All right, well, what do you want me to do about that? So everybody's busy. We are all busy. And again, I know that all of you guys are busy, so I do appreciate you guys all being here on a Saturday. But if you're too busy to schedule creating content, it's not a high enough priority for you, for your business. There's a way to change that, and only you have the answer to that one. The SEO trap. Anybody define the SEO trap? It's not something I made up.
Yeah, it's basically trying to just stuff your content with keywords rather than trying to have an intelligent conversation or writing an intelligent article about it.
Absolutely. So the SEO trap is writing content only in hopes that it ranks, only in hopes that it'll get picked up and indexed and skyrocket to page one, because page one is the coveted page. And the top three positions get 80% of all the clicks. And, Hook, if your content sucks, it's not going to stay there long. Right? I mean, the deal is that write your content with a purpose. Write your content with a strategy. Write your content, most of all, for the people who read it. For your audience. For your clients. For your community members. For the people that you're trying to have engage and buy and support your business. Write for them. And there's a great way that I found out. So, the truth bomb, number three. Don't fall for the SEO trap. So, everybody asks, a lot of times, where do you find content? How do you find topics to write about? Because, I run the Marketing Press blog on WordPress articles, and there are some days when I sit down to write, and it's like, God, I know this stuff, but I really don't know what I should write about today. Well, I have a list of stuff. It's hidden in an Evernote file, And I love using Evernote for just like different mind mapping, different like brain dumps, a stream of consciousness. And what I do is, the number one way I find content to write on my blog is I write down and I think about all the questions that people ask me. What questions do clients ask me? You know, questions that you guys ask me in a bit. Don't be surprised if that's not turned into a blog post at some point. My mentoring sessions. Different conversations that we have at dinner. Different conversations that we have. You know, different questions that are asked. Keep a running list. If you keep a running list of questions people ask you on your subject matter, you're going to not run out of, you're not going to be short of thinking about what to write. So, create, edit, review, create some more, edit, press publish. How many people are afraid of that damn publish button? Right? All right, I think we're becoming friends. People are raising their hands and admitting stuff. So that publish button in the beginning was so daunting. The minute that it's out there, I can't take it back, right? It's out there for the world. What do you, forget that. Nothing happens. You're not gonna be able to review anything until you press publish. Nothing happens until you press publish. When, and I don't care what that is, you know, nothing happens until you know, you post a photo on Flickr. Nobody is ever going to give you critique or feedback on it until you post it there. Oh, people still use Flickr? Instagram? I don't know. It's a little more subjective. YouTube, yeah. You're never going to feed a troll on YouTube until you post your video. You're never going to get comments on your blog. You're never going to get comments on your site. You're never going to have, you know, you're never going to have new clients come to you because of the product services that you offer until you press publish. It's the biggest thing. And out of all the WordPress functions that I know about, pressing publish is probably the easiest, but the scariest. Stay detached from the results, post to post. This is a tough one. And this is one of those ones that I had to learn kind of the hard way. You know, of course I know the results, post to post, because I'm in touch with my analytics, right? You're in the middle of that. But I would write these long technical WordPress blog posts and they would get like no traffic. And I would be discouraged. And then I'd write another one that was even better than the first and it would get less traffic. And then my girlfriend Christina and I show up on some stupid reality show, Kitchen Nightmares, for 30 seconds. I write a post on medium.com, it gets 125,000 views in 20 hours. You can't figure this stuff out. But if you do it long enough, you can see some trends to know what you're talking about and and what you should be writing about. So just stay detached, post to post. You know, because something doesn't draw the way that you think it's going to, keep going. You know, don't let that stop. So here are some wins of blogging and content creation. The biggest one that, you know, we kind of touched on about how to do it and how much time it takes, is you gotta give the content the respect it deserves and then create it. Well, what does that mean? Anybody here work for a company, have a sales meeting or a management meeting scheduled every week at a certain time? People do? Do that with your content. Give it the respect that it deserves. Put it on your calendar and say, Tuesday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I'm creating content for my clients, for my company, for my personal blog. If you don't put it down, if you don't put it on the calendar, you're not going to do it. Get an editorial calendar. I love editorial calendars. I have a running one for each month, what I want to write for my company, what I want to write for my clients, and all of that stuff. But until you schedule time and give this the time that it commands and the respect that it deserves, you're not going to do it consistently. The guys who blog every day, there's no secret in why their posts go out very, very similar times all the time. You know, they write it, they review it, they publish it. It's routine. If you make it part of your routine, you're going to get it done. When it comes to blogging, if you know your audience, you'll know when to post. That's a huge thing with your analytics. If you stay in touch with your analytics, and you know, it used to be, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday were great times to press, you know, press publish and to push out new content. Because people, you know, psychological reasons, they're recovering from their weekend, they're not looking forward to their weekend, they're trying to slack off from work, and they're looking at other things on the internet. Well, you know, I've never found one specific time for one specific industry, and it varies from time to time. But if you're in touch with your analytics, you can see what days your site gets more traffic and what content gets different traffic. And it'll make sense to you when to schedule out the posts that you made time to write. So, hope you guys have a lot of questions because we still have a little bit of time. So, if you learned anything today, become a content creator. Know your why, know your niche. Nothing matters unless you create. And don't complain, just do it. So, I have no more slides, so I hope you guys got questions. Yep.
What have you found is the best way to build your audience?
The best way I found to build my audience, by consistency. If you get 5 or 10 people who are used to seeing your posts on different days, you know, they're gonna keep looking for that. So I would say consistency. Other thing is content of value. You know, I don't know, smarter people than I always say content is king, but I think consistency is key. Yeah. Consistency of good content will really help you build your audience. And what's, applause already, awesome. This is the best crowd ever. No, so that's what I would do. I'd work on my consistency of publishing really good stuff. And look, if I know that we can't all be creative 24 hours a day, I can't. Or sometimes, you know, we go through laps when, you know, we have a whole week. But hopefully, you know, you've been in the routine long enough that you have some posts queued up, where, you know, if that does happen to you, and you're able to fill those gaps.
So you find social media is really
playing a role. Well, social media is a broadcast tool, so that's a whole other talk show. That's a whole other thing about, you know, and you can pay attention to your analytics, your social media, and say, when are people sharing my posts? When are people coming to my blog? You know, where is my traffic going from here to here? You know, pay attention to that stuff. And, you know, another broadcast tool I like that I didn't put in the presentation is If This Then That. Anybody use that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, you guys are smart. Cool.
Use it to replace Google Reader.
There you go, right? If This Then That. If I post to my WordPress site, then this post will go to my Twitter. It will go to my Facebook. It will go to LinkedIn. If this is an ad, awesome. If you haven't used it, use it.
Is that an app for WordPress or?
No, it's just an independent website. It's going, I think it's ifttt.com, and you make these different recipes. And it, again, it says, and it's if3t's. Social media sharing with Jetpack, says my buddy over here. Yep. Okay, well, I try not to talk to any of my clients and I don't apply to them, so. She said, how do I talk to my clients without wanting to punch them when they talk about you? I prove it. So we have an interesting process with marketing guys. We develop a site, we develop everything to 90%, and then we launch. Because if we wait until 100%, nothing ever gets done in the world if you wait until 100%, right? So we go back and we schedule a debrief meeting later, and we review analytics with them. And we say, okay, well you're a landscape architecture company. You thought that grading and drainage and this and that, you know, we're all going to be things that, you know, you are going to rank number one for in the Phoenix area. You go back to them with data, you can't argue with data. You know what I mean? So what I try to do then is we go back, we have a debrief meeting, we go back and make any kind of site improvements, especially SEO-wise, when it comes to, you know, the data, we review that. We make a data-driven decision. So anytime I can back up my you know, any kind of ambiguous conversation with data, I try to use. Did I answer that question or did I just read? Okay, cool. So I think that, if I understand the question correctly, is a lot of times you have clients that come to you, and, you know, I work for a commercial printer here in town, and they wanted to be found for commercial lithography and this, this, and this. Shit that nobody knows what it means. So it's my job as a professional when it comes to creating content, developing a site, and doing marketing and SEO to kind of bridge that gap of any disconnect between their institutional knowledge and jargon and real world terms. So it's just a conversation. Sometimes, you know what, it sucks to suck and you can't save them all. You know what I mean? And I know that's probably not the best answer that we're looking for right now, but you can't save them all. And if you wanted to go ahead and launch something, you know, I fight clients all the time until I say, all right, have it your way. And then what I do is I go back with the data and I say, look, I was right. So it's kind of one of those. It's a touchy thing and it sucks. I will acknowledge that. Yep.
So you're creating content for unrelated companies, your clients, right? In their particular niche?
Yes.
Okay. How do you go about that?
We hire writers. Well, wait, you're asking all right. There was no joke there. So we'll hire writers who fit those verticals and who have experience within those verticals. There are verticals that I write for that fit within my expertise and my knowledge. But, you know, you can't know everything about everything. So, you know, we work for some technical recruiting companies who only do like ELR implementations. Well, I hired somebody with knowledge in that type of technology to come in and give me their expertise. Jeff.
As far as the content creation space, what would you consider your personal best, worst mistake when it comes to the misconception of quality content?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot here. Well, I know Jeff, and he could have really asked me that like over a drink or something. He asked All right, I'll get you. I think that the mistake that we all fall into is trying to do too much with content, trying to accomplish too many goals, trying to satisfy too many audiences rather than one laser-focused thing. And the other thing in the very, very beginning is trying to sound like and trying to, you know, be like other people. You know, Chris Brogan or Seth Godin, you know, they get a lot of traffic because they write about this stuff. Well, if I write about that stuff, I'll get a lot of traffic too. No, I'm Greg Taylor. It just doesn't work like that. So those are some of the mistakes that I made. And then also not publishing often enough, you know, and it's funny. It's like, you know, when I put a personal spin on something rather than a technical spin on something, I get way better traffic and I get way better results and it meets my goals more easily. And I don't know if that's because of me, the way that I write it, my personality, or whatever, brand positioning. It could be a lot of that stuff. So I think that, you know, don't try to accomplish too much with one thing. So there'll be other days to press publish. Yeah?
Yes. For a lot of the companies you work with, or just someone starting out, what's your opinion about disabling comments? Do I ever see posts with no comments? Or no response to a comment, or worst-case scenario, a bad comment.
Okay, so it goes back to your goal. Are you trying to create a community around your product, service, and brand? If the answer is yes, comments should always be on. Because you're trying to stimulate a conversation, first of all. Why, and let me just ask you, why would you want comments off?
I mean, if no one's going to monitor them, or you don't think people are going to post it, like if it's just information you're giving out.
So I keep comments off on any WordPress page, because I don't want a page to be conversation. So I'll say that first of all. Any kind of post, I leave comments on. And if it's a brand that I work with, we have them We have somebody monitor that stuff. We have somebody ping when somebody posts it. You know? I patrol my own site stuff. But the people who work for me patrol our site stuff. And I encourage them to answer. Because, you know, I encourage, you know, not encourage, but I don't mind dissonance. And I don't mind if somebody has post something that says, you know, I think you're dead wrong on this. Because what have we done? We've created a conversation, right? So we created a conversation. I will allow almost any post go to my blog, and if any of you guys want to test me on this, feel free to, markgildress.com, that doesn't slander me, my family, my employees personally, you know, or attack, you know, any kind of race, color, creed, anything like that. You know, we'll let go and we'll start a conversation. And sometimes it ends with, let's just agree to disagree. But I'm a big fan of comments. And it goes back to why am I posting? You know, if I'm posting for engagement, comments are huge. Somebody that they care that A, they posted a comment, and B, they took the time to read what you wrote. And what you're doing is you're building a loyal audience at that point. You know, you may disagree with me on this one thing that I wrote, but I guarantee they'll be back to disagree with me again, or maybe find out that they agree with me.
Or they may not, but other people will see that they...
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way, you know, it's the same thing like with social media and different things like that, where, you know, if you tweet out a company and they never get back to you, what's that say about that company? You know, it's very, very similar to that. So we take it seriously. We try to address them all. And again, if it's anything that's just hurtful, rude, or, you know, just malicious, you know, we won't even let that get through. But we try to respond to every single one. And I think that that's a good best practice. Jeremy.
Well, there's already been a number of examples of company CEO or manager who did respond publicly in social media to some just ridiculous comment on just about any kind of topic you can imagine. Like one guy was a water bottle company, and somebody was complaining that there was nobody there on Christmas Day to take his order, so the CEO just lambasted the guy. And next thing you know, within 2 weeks, that place had like 50 grand worth of bottle orders from everybody applauding the fact that the guy interacted with the post instead of letting it go. So
yeah,
social media is just a big deal now.
Yep. That might have been the place that I dined when we got on the reality show. Yeah.
I think I may be suffering from topic four now. I'm a real jerk.
It is three something, and you can have. Well, as you mature in your business, and as you mature in client relations, and as things change, I think that it's okay to recycle topics. Because your opinion, or how you look at things, and how you handle things, may have changed over the years. So if you, just because you wrote about, you know, something about escrow 4 years ago, I'm sure that you learned something or something has changed where you can continue to write about that. So don't be afraid to recycle
time. And the marketplace changes too.
And as the market changes, things change. All right, thank you guys all for being here.
So there you have it. This is one of my most favorite presentations. You know, I love speaking to an audience that's highly engaged and they love asking like lots and lots of questions. So that's always cool. I'm speaking at WordCamp New York City 2018 coming up in September 15th and 16th. So if you're in the area, come check it out. I'd love to meet you. And thank you for listening to this bonus episode of The New Marketing Show, Throwback Thursday edition. Talk to you soon. The New Marketing Show is brought to you by Trinity Web Media. Trinity Web Media matches thoughtful and strategic WordPress development to your marketing goals. TrinityWebMedia.com.